It takes a lot of work to get a business going and a bunch more thereafter to keep it a going concern. Our regular business segment, The Ground Floor, visits with businesses from around the region about the challenges of getting started and keeping up momentum. This month we visit with Bell Hardware. The name is almost a bit of a misnomer because its major focus is now doors and entry areas, not general hardware. John Bell, the current owner, his grandfather and father ran the business before him. It is still based in Klamath Falls with offices as far-flung as Redding and Portland. John Bell, thanks for joining us today on The Ground Floor.
Thanks, Jeffrey, for having me.
So was it a general hardware store when your grandfather started it?
Yeah, back in 1937 is when the business started, and it had everything. We have these great pictures showing anything from the obvious, the hammers and screwdrivers, to shotguns and tennis rackets, so light bulbs, all the way across the spectrum there.
You know, I can almost get the shotguns, but tennis rackets at a hardware store?
I know, it was sporting goods.
Oh, okay.
So it's just it had the sporting goods, it had the hardware, it was kind of the everywhere store.
So, I mean, 1937 must have been a tough time to start a business. I mean, we were still sort of emerging from the depths of the recession at that point, weren't we?
Right, and that's even kind of how it came about. There were two hardware stores in town. Obviously, it didn't seem they could both make it. So they merged into one, and my grandfather was the manager and then ended up buying it.
And so what made the transition over the years? At what point did either your grandfather or your father start making a greater focus on doors?
So the hardware store was in place for over 20 years, and then my father came and joined it. And his vision was is that it had to expand or do something different, that maybe was in too narrow of a focus with just an old-fashioned hardware store. So he started to move into the commercial side of things, supplying commercial hardware and then eventually getting into commercial-style doors also.
Does that seem like a great decision, considering what has happened to the hardware business and the big name seeming to rule it now?
Yeah, his ability to see that what was coming down the road there was pretty amazing, you know, with the Lowe's and the Home Depot's. The volume that you have to have, the size of the retail space to be able to compete against those guys would have been impossible for us. So to be able to diversify turned out to be a great business decision.
So when did the expansions happen? I mean, obviously you would have moved from Klamath Falls west of the Cascades, store in Medford I've known about for a long time, but noticed many others along the I-5 corridor as well.
Right. So the business started to thrive, the commercial side of it, so Dad decided to expand. So that's when he bought a store over in Medford called John Warren Hardware, which was around for quite a while. And so expanded there. That was in 73, and then decided to go to Eugene and Redding. And so at that point, the expansion felt pretty good. He was covering quite a bit of Oregon and also Northern California. And then it was in 93 I came back in the business, and we decided we wanted to expand further up into the Portland area, where obviously there's a substantial amount of business. So we moved up, opened up in Salem and Portland, but also Bend. You could start to see great growth opportunity there. So we moved over and opened up an office in that spot.
So it seems like it makes sense for Bell Hardware to be located pretty much any place there's going to be a lot of building, because buildings need doors.
Right, but it's not necessarily the pattern of our business for other people who do what we do. Mostly they like to locate in one spot, say Portland, and try and cover large areas. We had a different philosophy. We decided we wanted to be in these communities, be a part of them, have people on the ground there, really get to know the local contractors well, and we felt that's been a great strategy for us.
That has helped then, it sounds like. Because when you're talking about, you know, you could easily service Salem from Portland, but you chose to have an operation there instead.
Yeah, and a lot of people wondered why. We'd actually moved in when another business there was struggling, but it's turned out Salem's been a very strong market, and so it's worked well for us. And there's just a lot of outlying communities around these areas. I mean, even, you know, you take Medford, but you take a look at what surrounds it and how do you connect with those areas, the hospitals, the schools that are being built. And so I just think it's worked for us.
So is your work mostly on larger scale applications? You're not doing a lot of homes, are you? Or is that part of the mix?
So no homes at all, no residential. Yet I would say one of the big strong trends in recent years has been what's called a multi-use type facilities. So it'd be a building that might have retail on the first, maybe second floor, and then condos or apartments on the top floors, third, fourth, on up. So we've ended up being somewhat involved in that type of a building structure, but mostly we focus on anything from as simple as a warehouse to schools, hospitals. I would say one of our big drivers in the last couple of years have been what's called data centers. So Google, Yahoo, Apple are building these huge buildings, facilities out Prineville and Boardman and Reno. And we have been involved with that business, and that's been a great growth opportunity for us.
Prineville was the first place that came to mind. Have you worked in those big data centers out there?
We have.
Mm-hmm. John Bell's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the current owner of Bell Hardware, which is a business started by his grandfather, run by his father, and now by him. It is not a hardware store, as the name might imply, a lot more involved in doors and entries. You can join the conversation on the Exchange as we talk about what it takes to get a business going, what it takes to keep a business continuing. 800-838-3760 to join by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Is the approach then generally the same? You look at a building, you figure out what security it needs, and you just, you know, I mean, you have stock answers that you can basically get off the shelf and install?
Yeah, everything's a little different. When you get involved with schools, let's say now, schools have dramatically changed. With the issues that have occurred with schools, with their safety, with
security,
tragedies
sure.
that have occurred over the years, schools have had to change how people exit and entry their buildings. And so we've been a part of that, trying to come up with solutions, trying to say, okay, how do you protect all the openings so people can't get in unless somebody is making a decision to let them in? So that part's changed. Hospitals are very complicated areas to work with when you talk about security and safety with those. So I don't think there's a pat answer. I think the biggest change that we've seen has been access control or electronics controlling the opening. So now everybody, you know, you'll see people with cards, with what we call fobs. Now your phone even will allow you access and entry into a building. And so we've seen the electronic side really start to take a strong hold in our industry.
So as a company that works on certainly the hardware part of it, you know, the frames, the doors, all that stuff, I mean, how deep have you had to get at Bell Hardware into things like security systems and alarm systems and security cameras and all that stuff that go with the entryway?
So it's not our area of expertise, and it's not what we get into, but we have to coordinate with it. So we have to almost be a partner with that group that's putting that in, so that when they're setting up their security levels of how it works, we'll supply the hardware that may go along with that. So a key swipe or a card swipe reader that goes at the door, any number of things like that. So I would say more it's a partnership, but it's definitely, like I said, an important part of what we're doing.
John, I wonder how early in a process you might come in a building's design, for example. I'm thinking about a school I visited just the other day when you're talking about security, which had been redesigned recently. And there's this lovely open area between buildings, but there's a fence between the public and that lovely open area, and you are diverted to the left. You have to go to the office, check in, get your badge, and then you get to go into that lovely open area. So, I mean, I have to believe at some point you sit down with the architect and say, here's what you're going to end up with based on what we have to do.
Yeah, definitely. We're involved actually right from the beginning. So when a plan comes out or starts to be put in place by the architect, we're contacted and asked to come and write the specification, it's called, of what hardware will be supplied on that job. So we start working with the school end user, as we call them, owner, and then also with the architect and the contractor. Contractors are much more involved these days with that design part of it. So between all of us, we'll start to put together a plan of how that's going to work.
So by the numbers, I mean, how big is Bell Hardware these days? How many branches? How many workers?
Sure. 7 locations. We have 70 employees. Klamath would be the largest with 25. Our range is we go up into Washington, down all the way to Sacramento, and then Nevada over to Reno. So cover that area. If we find an owner end user that decides he wants us to travel around with them, we'll do that. We've done that with, like, say, a theater company that's building movie theaters. We'll go all over the place.
Well, you mentioned all the places you've been building and some of the newer applications, like the data centers going in places like Prineville. Yeah. I have to wonder, with a branch in Salem, if you get a fair amount of state government business.
We get a lot, and that's what drives Salem. That's definitely such a government-driven town. But we're starting to see the corridor between Salem and Portland are becoming, you know, just a continuous growth area there. So Salem's branching out. They're starting to do some other things, but that's been a huge part of our business there.
Given that, you know, you can do a lot of stuff along the I-5 corridor and do, as you mentioned, down to Sacramento and up to Washington, has there ever been any question of whether the headquarters are better placed someplace besides Klamath Falls?
Yes.
And you have said?
I have said I love Klamath. I was born and raised here. I feel like I have such a strong stake in this community. I'm very involved with it. I'm on the board of directors for our Sky Lakes Medical Center. My wife is a city council person, so we really love Klamath, and we're dedicated to it, and we think it's a great spot to have as our home office. We actually get great labor here. We've had we find really good people that are willing to work hard for us here, and so we just like the community and what it brings.
You mentioned coming back into the business. Had you left Klamath Falls for a while, or you certainly had
Yes.
left the family business? It sounds like both, it sounds like.
Yeah, after graduating from high school, I attended Oregon State University, and when I graduated from there, I went up to Seattle and worked up in that area for a number of years, and I was one of those people that when I graduated from high school, I said, I don't think I'm coming back to Klamath ever. But after we'd been up in Seattle for a while, and we loved that, and it was a great opportunity, I worked for a very large insurance company. My dad approached me and said, the business needs to expand, and I need some more firepower to do that, and would you consider coming back? And so I was married and had a child on the way, and we came back to Klamath and just decided that would be a great lifestyle for us.
John Bell's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in our segment, The Ground Floor, where we talk about businesses and how they got started and how they kept going. You can join us at 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. Did the experience you got in the insurance business have any bearing on what you knew coming back to Bell Hardware?
I'll tell you what it told me was working for a large corporation was not what I wanted to do. So I really like the idea of being in control, to being a part of something that I could have a say. And so it did bring, though, great experience levels of how to work with people, how to deal with insurance, obviously, which was commercial insurance, which I was involved with. So, yeah, I thought it helped quite a bit. And also just to have that broad exposure of working in a large city for a large corporation, I could bring that back in and help our smaller business.
I'm hearing almost a communication thing. Do the ways that businesses talk to each other differ from the way that individuals talk to businesses and vice versa?
Yes, definitely. And it's just a different level. Maybe it's a different language in the sense of what you know or understand. And so you can kind of bypass some basic type discussions, but definitely I think it's different.
You can skip square one and go on to square two if you realize you're speaking the same language.
Exactly.
So has there been any thought to ever changing the name? I mean, Bell Hardware doesn't really reflect what you do these days. I mean, you have hardware and you install hardware, but you're not a hardware store.
No, and I spent a lot of time explaining it, so I could really make my life much less complicated if I were to change it. But I'm also a little bit sentimental about my grandfather and what he started and the name, and then my father. So to me, that this is their business also. We've expanded it. We've grown it. We've taken it to a kind of a new level, but it still has that basis. If you were to come to Klamath and come into our store, which is still located in the same spot, you would find a very, very old wood floor that was the original one in here, and we've taken care of it over the years. And so things like that I actually kind of treasure and honor, and so I don't think I'd ever change the name.
Bell Hardware stays then. What is your grandfather, what was he doing before he started the hardware business?
Yeah, he was actually working in a hardware store. Mm-hmm. So he had that background. He was doing that and just decided he'd take that jump and actually buy one, like you said, after the Depression, and try and make it work. And so it was a great feat for him to be able to do that.
You know, we tend to ask most folks who come in here on the ground floor what the near-death experience was. It sounds like you probably started with one starting in 1937.
Exactly. I would say that the recession that we just went through was pretty difficult. Construction had definitely gone down to a very low level, so we were able to get through it. But that was probably one of the tougher periods, at least since I've been the president of the company, that we had to go through.
Now, what about, we mentioned technology and the things, the accoutrements that come with doors. I mean, people probably always going to have doorknobs and handles and that sort of thing. I mean, ways to, you know, things that can lock or keep people out of a building in addition to letting them in. I mean, but are there major breakthroughs? Are we going to have invisible doors or force fields? I mean, you have to look down the road and look at what the technology is going to offer you, what you'll be installing. So what do you see coming down the road?
It's your phone. I think your phone is going to become your key. to so many different things. So we're starting to see that come into play, especially at universities right now, where the kids all have phones, obviously, and so that's the easiest way for them to use that to get in and out, not only of their dorm room or to get into a building, but they're going to use it, obviously, to pay for everything. So that one piece of technology will be center to so much of what's going forward. But still, at the end of the day, it's a physical barrier. So it's a door, it's a lock, something has to be in place. And I'm not sure that it's been slow to change in some ways, but I think the future will be more based upon the phone and how that gets you in and out of that physical barrier.
And I really would have welcomed that today. Honestly, as we were talking about this, my phone is sitting about 2 feet to my right. My fob is sitting at home, so I couldn't get into the building where I work today.
There you go.
It was just we'd have something to talk about here on the ground floor. So what do you think is going to happen with the business? Are there any further expansions in order, you think? Are there any other communities you can see wanting to get into?
Yeah, the biggest challenge actually has been technology within our business. So incorporating new software, figuring out ways to use the technology that we have to be more efficient. And then when we're hiring young people, you know, they walk in, they expect to see that technology. They expect to have the software, the ability to be able to work within a system because that's what they've been raised on. So it's a big challenge for us because I have people who have been with our company 30, 40 years even, and for them that's not a very natural way for them to do their work on a daily basis. So that's been our biggest challenge. By doing that, I think we open up other markets. It means that being in a physical location maybe isn't as important as how do you just handle your business online or through your software and then be able to go out to these other markets. So definitely looking at that option.
You've certainly kept your staff size tight at 70 people. So do you have any people who are IT specialists?
Yeah, I've got some folks that, honestly, I so rely on. Yes, it's very important to have them.
All right, lots of things going on well at Bell Hardware. Boy, 80 years after the original place started, getting down to 81 this year. Bell Hardware, based in Klamath Falls, John Bell succeeded his father and grandfather as operators and owners of the business. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Ground Floor.